Good evening. Good evening. I'm Dr. Lee Merritt, once an orthopedic and spinal surgeon, now a professional medical rebel, and your host tonight. And we have a special guest, Scott Kesterson from Bards FM. I know you know him. I don't need to do much of an introduction, but we have really great talks periodically. And our last one, which I said we need to bring out in public, is the problem of figuring out who's on what side. You know, who are there white hats? Are there more than one group of white hats? Are there, you know, black hats, red hats? Who knows? But anyway, our topic tonight is where do you find a Jedi? And I was thinking about that title because look what happened. How did Luke find the Jedi? It wasn't where he expected. It was in the middle of this nowheresville with a plane sunk into the morass. So this ought to be interesting. We'll be back here in a little bit. But in the meantime, don't forget to go to the Brighteon store. Use the code REBEL if you want to support the show. And we'll be back in a minute or two. Thanks.
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. BrighteonStore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code REBEL at checkout for additional savings.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package. Emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
All right. Well, welcome back. And, you know, if you're like me, you're kind of over this. We want this to be over, but I think we're in a war. And the question is, are we alone in this war? I hope not. I don't think we can win this war by ourselves. Sadly, we're not in the age when, you know, the revolutionary guys had basically the same weapons that the British did. That's no longer true. And so we have to have somebody in the background. And I personally think we do. So here's somebody, Scott Kesterson. You've been with the military in all sorts of weird scenarios. So, and we talk about this. What do you think? Do you think that there? I mean, the reason I think there's so many things going on that make me, here's a little blip. It's a little blip that makes me think there's things happening in the background because suddenly it's like the umbrella of control seems to be breaking down. So suddenly, who was it? Brendan Fraser. He just got an Oscar. You know. This was a blacklisted guy, the blacklisted artists that wouldn't go along and drink the blood and do whatever you have to do in Hollywood are suddenly starting to reappear. That's just a small point, but.
No, it's not a small point at all because Hollywood's one of the center of influences. And yeah. Most people don't realize is if you're looking where the main domestic hub is for the CIA, it's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So there's a good reason for that. They've infiltrated this nation through information warfare for a long time, way, way, way ahead of the curve on where the military was in information warfare for a long time. I have no doubt that there's people in behind the scenes doing good work. And so before the show, I said, you know, we really have two groups of white hats. And I think that we have to start to embrace what's going on here. So there's no question that there is a evil, maniacal, darkness that is led by the notorious Klaus Schwab and his gay sidekick Harari. I mean, they're little those two are partners in more than one way, and their whole vision is totally to destroy humanity. Unfortunately, they've been quite successful in setting the base for that because of this vax. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and this is going to be really a fight now for the struggle for humanity of who controls the keys to the kingdom, which when I say that, and that's not said lightly, because with this vax, people have gained access in a deep way to the human genome and to the operational functioning of the body that we have. So if you've taken the vax, and I just put this bluntly, you're in a bad position because they now have access to you, your thoughts, your way your body operates. They have access to that. That's not, I think we can establish that almost as a definite at this point in time. But this is the, and so if you've taken the vax and you're one of those that's like wondering what side to vote on, you better be running over to the side of the good guys and hope that they win this, because that's literally the keys to control.
Yeah.
This is where I think things get a little messy, because there is a vision that is becoming very clear that both sides share. And it's principally this. And I will find, I will tell you honestly, I'm a little irritated at the whole functioning of the willingness to accept white hats as they're going to come in and save us, instead of realizing whether this is this other white hat, which is us. I mean, we have that choice.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking here going, well, oh, Musk is going to save us. Trump is going to save us. First of all, I've even have this on the inside. Trump is almost to the point of frustrated to furious that people keep doing this, because it's like he's there to help get rid of one layer of this. We have to make the decisions as the public. So with that, there's a certain reality that goes with being in an elite circle of a quote white hat like Elon Musk or like Donald Trump. And that is that you can't be the one that suddenly burns the system down and say, hey, guess what, guys, I'm going to give you freedom, but I'm going to wipe out every industry we have here. Because it's all geared on a fourth industrialization model. And that trajectory was put in place long before Trump was in power, before whoever or whatever is playing Elon Musk. That trajectory is already there. So we have to get pretty real about this. I mean, I'll give you a simple example of this. First of all, to your point, there are so many people that are not in play right now. And the one I love to use, because she was the loudest mouth witch on the planet under Trump, and that was Meryl Streep. I mean, where is she? She's gone. Madonna has now come out to expose that she was child sex trafficking. And not only that, but the country of origin, they've now blocked her ability and are asking to have her investigated for even taking her own kids out of country illegally. This is dark. We're starting to see the unraveling of the LGBTQ movement as its monikers, if this latest case that came out of Georgia, Atlanta area, with these two gay guys that adopted kids and turned it into a pedophile circle. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is gross. But unfortunately, this is the layer of truth that we're going to have to start facing. And these things aren't happening by accident. The other thing that I think everybody needs to ask is, why is it that the media that's supposed to be in the pocket of all the dark and evil folks, why is it they keep promoting the death of their own with this vax? I mean, that's pretty stunning to me. So you would not advertise athletes dropping dead on the field. You'd do a cutaway. You would pre-record stuff. I don't know. You'd find ways to avoid it. But that's become a big issue. So there's a lot of issues here in play that definitely point to the fact that we have a council of people, a collective of people. Cliff Hyde does a good term of self-organizing communities, SOCs, which we used to call organic movements. So a similar concept that have kind of sprung up within various organizations to basically do the right thing. And I think that's solid. So there is a white hat movement there, right?
Now, speaking of doing it on our, you know, us participating at the county level, at the local level, at every level, one of the things that drives me crazy is, and you know, my husband listens to these gun channels and these guys talk, and you know, here I keep hearing them say things like, "Well, what's the latest nonsense that ATF is trying to do? Outlaw, oh, it's going to be criminalize anybody that has these braces that came on their weapon. Okay. And they're talking about how it went to court and it didn't quite, you know, back and forth on these things. And at some point I just leaned over and I said, okay, so what if they rule against you on everything? At some point, how do you stand up and say, no, we're not doing that? I mean, other than what I've been saying is go to the county sheriff, but it's a bigger, I'm just making it as a general principle, is that we're looking at the law courts for things. And the law courts are not necessarily free yet. They're, you know, we've got judges. Let's just face it. The criminal element, the whatever we want to call these, I kind of like the new term uber parasites. It's the big guys on top that run this umbrella of control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was calling it the uber lords. You know, everybody calls it the elite, the cabal. But I kind of like uber parasites because that's what they are. There are no poor countries. They're just poor people, because these uber parasites are sucking the wealth out of all these countries. And now the part of that wealth is our children. You know, they've been taking our children. And so the issue is, you know, it's kind of like if you found out that they were going down to murdering children at the local school, you wouldn't take it to court. You'd go down and do something. Now, I don't know how that translates. I'm not advocating violence, but at what point do we, how much do we get out of the court system? What do we do?
Well, we are dealing with a very permissive environment. And in a military sense, you have to stop making it a permissive environment. So I don't know what that translates to into each and every district, but it definitely means communities standing up and drawing a hard red line of things that will not be accepted, will not be tolerated. So even in talking and engaging with your sheriff, and I've said this openly many times, tell your sheriff the truth. Like, oh, by the way, sheriff, if I have a federal agent coming on my land without a warrant, you want me to call you before I dig the hole or after? Right? So, I mean, the sheriff needs to understand your willingness to go, how far your willingness to go, because people are afraid to speak truth. And we literally have to get to a place where it's like, you have to draw the line. We are dealing, by our own terms of our founding fathers, despotism. It's tyranny. And tyranny's in full play. The agencies have no concern for the Constitution. And so this is where, on one level, at the most senior of levels, you need to have, and I think we do have, an operational white hat movement trying to resurrect or preserve what's left of this corrupted and cancerous leadership that we have, which is in all agencies.
Yeah.
And and even some of the interviews I'm doing, like I've got one tomorrow night with Nate Kane, who is the whistleblower for the FBI. And he'll tell you firsthand, because he still keeps a lot of contacts in there. The main corruption is in DC. The field office is not so much, but once these guys put their nose to the grindstone, and they're going to follow the directives they get from above. So it's not necessarily that they're bad, but they're very obedient to their job. And their job is...
That was the Nazi regime, right? That's what we have to stop. You can't... Right. I was following orders. It's not going to work. So what about Congress? Do you think there are any white hats left in Congress? I mean,
Congress is an interesting one. I personally think Congress is under control of good guys, the whole thing.
Right now.
And I'm going to give you why I think that. I think that what we saw with Kevin McCarthy was quite a bit of a show.
Yeah.
Intended to draw people's attention to there, and intended to show people how things are supposed to work. Okay. But here's some pointers that people just need to reflect on. And I'm really about, when we talk about federal and strategic level operations, we have to be asking constantly the hard questions. And I've been talking about this on the show almost every night lately. Don't take things for granted. So here's a couple of things just to consider. How is it that Kevin McCarthy, who we knew was already more of a deep stater than he was a Republican, how is it that they knew, Getz and his team, that there wasn't going to be one or two or three defecting votes from the Democrat Party? And then, so they interviewed AOC and they asked her, what did you say to Matt Gaetz? And she said, he asked me to verify that we weren't going to jump party lines. And she said, no, we wouldn't. It would have been political suicide. Well, that's a funny statement, because Nancy Pelosi's out of play. So who's controlling the political suicide, right? Where was Nancy Pelosi? And people will say, well, she retired. Tell me one time in the history of Congress that the reigning House Speaker isn't there to hand over the gavel. That was stunning. She was out of play. So, and she was out of play a long time before that date came to transition the House. We have the other side of the Republicans, which they held the line and they continued. We didn't have even a defect on the Republican side that went to vote for Jeffries, another stunning movement, because the Republicans aren't that loyal. And yet we saw extreme division in the parties that were so loyal they didn't budge. And yet the first bill that they passed, whatever one that was, we saw defects from the Democrats to join the Republicans. So my point is, there is something was going on there that was beyond the normal issue.
Yeah.
There was the audio that was picked up of the person that was running the gavel that was speaking in her ear, telling her what to say and what to speak to the House. Now, that could have been nothing more than the stand-in, which was trying to be a neutral stand-in that didn't know all the rules that somebody was coaching her through. That's okay. We can take that. But it's still a little weird. I don't mind saying it, because you had the legacy of Nancy Pelosi, and she was gone. And she retired early. Right. And that's the other issue. Yeah, where is Nancy? And so people go, well, I saw her afterwards, and she just laughed at the camera. And the thing that I always bring this up as an example, and it's El Chapo, okay? People don't necessarily know this, but they need to know this. I knew some of the guys that were working on the operation to get El Chapo. This is one of the reasons it took so long to get El Chapo. He had 18 doppelgangers, 18 body doubles. Now, I don't know where they got him. I don't know if they grew him in a test tube in a lab or did replicants clones. I don't know if they were biosynthetics or just people wearing a mask that were well-trained and probably went through some plastic surgery. I don't know. But I do know that if El Chapo's got 18 body doubles, and if you think for 1 second these elites don't have some form of an acting stand-in body double, since the Secret Service has done that forever, then you're just fooling yourself.
Right,
We're dealing with a level of deception here that's so easy. And more as you start to understand the mask technology. I mean, yes. Keep in mind that under George Bush, the CIA worked with Hollywood to develop new quick cover masks that they could use to get in and out of countries. And that's when the Iron Curtain was still up. And to demonstrate the effectiveness of the new technology, they brought in an agent that George Bush had personally worked with, wearing one of these new disguises. She passed through Secret Service without even a glimpse or a question, sat in the Oval Office talking to him. By the way, this is all documented. You don't have to take my word for it.
Yeah, I've seen the video.
And as she was talking to him, Bush turned his back to walk back to her desk. She took off the mask in less than 30 seconds, shook her hair, and she became, instead of a brunette, a blonde. And it was, he recognized her from the agent that he'd worked with at the agency. So the masking technology is phenomenal. You can find testimonies of this from former people that worked within clandestine branch that talk about some of these. A lot of what you see in Mission Impossible, not all, but the masking technology in Mission Impossible where they 3D print a mask, that's real technology. Maybe not as fast, but it works. And the idea of voice modulation with things over your throat, that's real. Okay, so these things are very real technologies. And so people need to kind of open their horizons of what they're looking at, because when you add to that we're looking at this all through television and we're looking at all this through CGI and advanced AIs, we're not seeing much reality these days. So the part of Congress and the White House and all of that, pretty much sure at this point in time, most of that is under control of what we would refer to as the good guys. This is the point that I was trying to get at earlier, and that is that the good guys have an agenda, which is to ultimately return the country back to the people without disrupting things financially so much that we end up in a third world revival, basically, right? And the reason that becomes important to understand is this country's trajectory, thanks to previous administrations and the elites, has been put on the trajectory of a fourth industrial revolution. What does that mean? Internet of things, internet of bodies, digital everything, mass security state, and it also means that you're talking about things like genetic engineering, biosynthetic engineering, all these sorts of technologies that are supposed to be the new horizons for an industrial boom. We're headed there.
And a vastly diminished population.
Right. And this is the thing where ultimately I'm arguing these days that the white hats knew where we were headed. They just couldn't stop that freight train. And the dark hats, black hats, were in pushing that agenda. And all along, it was up to us to choose the destiny. And unfortunately, about 60% of the population chose wrong. They chose the vax. And so we're ending up in a situation right now where this is a really critical piece here, in order to maintain the same type of technologically integrated society, if we want that, we will not achieve that without artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, robotics, and Internet of Things. You're not going to achieve it because they know this. So, example, today Boston Dynamics releases a new video on their new robot. Now look, these robots are far more, when they show you the robot, it's already built and done. It was probably done 5 years ago in the lab, maybe 10. The general rule is by what you see in the public eye, in the public domain, it's about 10 years behind what's going on in the lab. So what's the new robot? It's a construction assistance robot, right? That can walk up planks, walk up scaffolding, deliver stuff. And it's important too, if I would really highly recommend, if you people have not seen the movie, go watch Matrix Resurrection. Super, super important in this, because you're getting the theme of where we are. You've got a dark, evil, control everybody, put them to sleep type technology run race versus Neo and his glorious band of rebels that are going to save the world, but have embraced a unified and mutually symbiotic integration with artificial intelligence and biosynthetics and this sort of high-tech integration. I mean, that's the world that we're being pushed into. And I'm all about a third path. And that's where I say the third path is the real white hats, which is the people. And I'm all about, like, let's not go there.
Well,
let's go back, right?
And, you know, in medicine, the good news is that's what we're looking at. Yeah, this robot isn't as scary to me as those, by the way, as those dog hunter robots. And we just saw them, where was it, in New York China. City, I think.
Yeah.
There's a movie about those dog hunter robots that are on all fours and they carry, you know, they take out, they're hunting humans in this Mad Max scenario movie. I can't remember the name of it. That is truly, those things are truly frightening. And the idea that they're arming them in China is pretty impressive. But, you know, the good thing, I was just bringing up medicine because I think it's an example of where those of us thinking outside the box realize we actually have been led astray with all this technology. And yes, there's trauma, you know, there's things that have to be done with some high tech, but most of medicine that we've been led to believe needs high tech doesn't. It needs a different path. And that's now being blossoming, I think, thanks to this. I would have chosen another way to have it happen, but there's a way around having to have all these drugs and all this kind of stuff. And I think we're going to end up better for it. I think that'll happen in other realms too, farming being one.
Well, and I agree. I mean, the practices of farming, like the industrialized farming, are horrid. They're destroying our soils, and we need to get back to much more organic and natural ways of farming. I don't want to sound like a Luddite and say I'm not in favor of any technologies, because I'm not that way. But the problem is we're still racing ahead. With technologies and not looking at the consequence. So let me just give you a living example that happened today. And it was Elon Musk, we're now assuming whoever is Elon Musk, because it's not the original.
Whoever's got the mask on.
Right. And whatever. And by the way, state-run media is his new tagline on his Twitter account. So let's be real. There's something else going on there. Okay. Or state-sponsored media. But here's what he puts out. Tesla gets recognized in a Fox News report today, one of their business reports, of being in the top 10% or constituting majority of sales of EVs, electric vehicles. And that's 10% of all vehicle sales. And Elon Musk tweets out and says, good job, Team Tesla. Okay. Let's break that down and look at what that tweet represents. Lithium mines, besides the environmental damage, which is massive, if you want to find out where the majority of child sex labor is in these places, it's lithium mines, and it's horrific labor.
Yeah, it's
so
horrific.
What that tweet essentially said was, good job, Team Tesla. We support child sex labor. I realize that may not be what people want to hear, but that's the truth, because you as a CEO of a company know damn well where that origins of that product is coming from, that raw material. And well, tech has done...
Go ahead. We'll have to take a break, but we'll finish up on that after the break. And I want to talk about Davos too. So when we get back...
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today. With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
All right, guys, we're back with Scott Kesserson, Bards FM, and so much to talk about, so little time. We were talking before the break, and I'll let you finish that, but then I really want to go to Davos, because you had mentioned, where's Nancy Pelosi? I want to know where Bill Gates is, where Soros is, where all these big guys. I heard it was like 50% attended, in spite of having 5,000 police to guard them. So, you know, there's things...
Yeah, there's some weird ones. So where were we at before the break? Because and remind me where we were at, because otherwise I'm going to jump right into Davos.
Well, let's jump into Davos and then we can go back.
Okay, because here's where Davos is interesting. Okay?
Yeah, and it's really.
You've got the deputy Ray there, and nobody's saying anything about that, which is like either he's completely bad or it's something else. Okay,
it's a show. Yeah,
but here's we had. Soros and Klaus Schwab announced that they weren't going to be there. Then Klaus Schwab did show up. But here's the really weird one. And it made all sorts of news today, and it was even on Gateway Pundit, that Rebel Media out of Canada had two reporters that they launched against Andrew Borla, who was walking down the street, and they interviewed him on the go. And this thing goes on for 6 minutes, okay? Last year, Rebel Media tried to interview somebody and got pushed away by security. This year, nobody pushed Rebel Media out of the way.
In spite of 5,000 policemen.
Right. There's 5,000 Swiss guys there. I mean, someone said how they write it the other day. It's like, if you want to know what it's like to have a date in Switzerland right now, you get to walk into your hotel, look down the barrel of a gun, and then enjoy your chocolates. I mean, that's basically where it's at right now, right? So... There is something weird about Davos, and so you have that whole scene, which is last year they weren't allowing press to get even close to these people. This year, these people have no protection from the press. So that's a strange, and these questions they're asking are brutal. They're challenging Borla on deaths. They're challenging Borla on what he knew. So it's almost like an exposure process here in preparation. This is jumping way out on the limb. But it would be interesting if Ray was there as a representative of the FBI International Task Force to present cases against these people.
And indictments.
Indictments. I don't like going there very often because that really gets people all like, whoa, we're going to see the great tribunals, or we're going to see the videos on TV. Look, I don't think it's going to roll that way. So, but it is interesting to note that there's some real anomalies. Now, I also listened to Bill Gates' interview the other day. And I know people can't stand Gates. And it's literally most of the comments were like, oh, I hate Gates. He's going to get, but you needed to listen in detail to what he was saying. First of all, Gates is now promoting nuclear energy. So everybody's saying like, well, look at what Gates is doing. He's going to be the new nuclear guy. Listen to what nuclear energy he's promoting. Gates is pitching nuclear energy to a green movement that wants to eat cell-grown, lab-grown beef and drink plant-based milk with bug burgers. And he's convincing them that nuclear energy is safe because the technology that he's promoting was actually in part developed at Oregon State University, which uses a sand salt pellet system that can never, ever.
Reactor?
What's that?
Is this the thorium reactor?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah, yeah. So we're the only country so far I know that actually has produced one.
Right.
And they're super safe.
Oregon State has an active reactor on campus. And this is, they've proposed this at a county level to where you can put these reactors in each county and you've got enough power for like 200 years. So that's something to keep in mind, that Gates is now speaking to his bug burger audience and they're like going, oh, well, nuclear is a good idea. These are the same people that are like out here trying to burn a nuclear power plant down, right? So that's, I find that very interesting. And that's why I don't think Davos is all what we think it is.
Yeah, something's wrong. Something's not right there.
And
not to say I told you so, but I will make this point. In 2014, when I campaigned as a libertarian candidate in the state of Iowa, I made the point. I said, we should be promoting thorium reactors. This is, they're safe. They don't use water cooling. You could put it in everybody's backyard and it would be over. We'd have free energy. We'd be the richest state in the union. Of course, everybody thought I was crazy, but it was in Oregon. It is the, and he was a libertarian, by the way. I'm blanking on his name. He was a, he's got five children with hard PhDs and one's a nuclear physicist. And why am I blanking on his name? But he's a big proponent of nuclear energy and talked about this.
I'm with you because this is the technology. This is the technology that changes the world that we have at hand, not fusion reactions, not hydrogen, because those are technologies still evolving, not cold fusion. We're not there yet, but thorium reactions, totally safe, great product, great energy source,
cheap,
all those things. So that's worth noting. And here's the other thing about Bill Gates' interview. Everybody's talking about how he's trying to replace beef. They literally asked him in the interview, what do we need to do to get more people to eat alternatives to beef? And he slides in this comment. I'm not going to do it as he does it, but you have to listen carefully. He basically says, that's not going to happen. And he says, we can make alternatives more appealing, but we are working with cattle farmers to continue to raise meat with lower output of whatever they do, you know, and
no methane. They're worried about methane
output. Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with what they're doing on that, but my point still is he's talking. The reason I'm saying this and why that rings well, he's changing the narrative to tell you that you're not going to be beefless. And he's talking to these greenies that are so convinced that cattle farts are going to end the world in 5 years that he's literally telling them, well, we're coming up with ways to create a low methane beef. And what that does is immediately changes the narrative. And so you're watching a narrative shift happening with who's supposed to be like Satan himself, Bill Gates, right?
So, well, he's still in the running. Don't take him out of the running.
Oh, I haven't. Trust me. He's not off the hook any more than like George Soros inviting himself to dinner at my dinner table. Ain't going to happen, you know. But, I mean, it is interesting. And so a lot of this is coming down to, again, us having to make choices. Because where the white hat confusion comes in my opinion, is everybody is expecting them to produce a perfect solution. People wanted 5G. All we had to do was say no, but we wanted it. People demanded it. The market was insisting on 5G. They want faster internet. They want to have faster downloads. They want to be able to watch videos on their phones on the go. You got 5G. It sucks, but we got it. So what are we going to do? And we have to start demanding change as consumers, because at the end of the day, industry responds to that. And that's where, if you, the great thing that happened today, if you look at a article today about Mike Lindell in the Gateway Pundit, one of the cool things about this is that they listed all the companies that are now filing bankruptcy. Why? Because Patriots made a decision to not buy from them and instead buy from MyPillow. And so Mike has literally wiped out like three or four major chains by his own company, because Patriots said, look, you're going to treat him that way, cancel his products. We're going to cancel you. And that consumer power is one of our greatest votes we have to decide how we want to operate. So we're heading into an environment, I think, that will open up innovation. I'm very optimistic about that part. But we have to grow to be reasonable about technology. And I think that's a super, super important piece, because if we don't get reasonable about how we look, use technology and what we're expecting out of technology, we're going to end up right back in the same trap again. You know, and by the way, if you have the vax, again, I'm telling you, you better pray hard that this does end up in the White Hat's camp, because otherwise you're primed to become like the next zombie apocalypse team. You know, I mean, and I don't mean that lightly. Unfortunately, we know what's in this thing enough to know that what's in people now. And I'm going to end this little thread when we're talking here about this, because it is still going to be a choice for people to, in my opinion, to accept Meta, to accept transhumanism, to accept digital integration. They're not going to take it off the table. You're going to have to make a choice. And those choices aren't necessarily going to be for the benefit of humanity. There's going to be a lot of trial and error. Elon Musk, the whoever that is a big proponent of human integration with AI in the transhumanist model. And yeah. I will always oppose that. I think that is the worst possible direction we could ever go.
And I have to say, the thing I worry about is, just like when they say, if they're pushing something in the news, what is it they're hiding? What is they're doing in the background they're not telling you? I think the same thing's going on here, both politically and with this technology. So, you know, people like their cell phones, but how many people actually went out and asked for 5G? You know, this is a different level of, this was imposed on us. I would not say that people actually wanted it. They didn't know about it. You know, they're just enjoying their cell phones, and these companies come along and think they own our environment. So it's the same thing with chemtrails. You know, I don't care if Bill Gates thinks there's global warming. He doesn't have the right to dim my sun. You know, that is the problem here, is that I think that they give us, they think that we are pushing it. I think some of this stuff's being pushed from the top. And I think we have a very narrow window of opportunity here to stop it before it's irreversible to some degree. Now, I think the good news, like on the vaccine, I think if people do realize the problem, I think they can get themselves out of it, because these things, if they're going to network everybody together, it depends on connectivity that we can, in fact, we have controls over, but we have to exercise that control. We have to neutralize the graphene oxide side. We've got ways of doing that. I think we got to get this stuff out of here. I think we're getting ways of doing that. I don't want people to think that it's hopeless, but I'm worried that their front men are doing things like, okay, I'll give you an example about what I see happening just in my state. So Seth Keschel went around and said, if you're going to save the electoral process, you've got to clean up the voter rolls. I have not heard one person that doesn't agree with cleaning up the voter rolls, you know, in my area, and certainly in general. Most people would agree we shouldn't have dead people voting. We shouldn't have people voting in other states after they move. Like I found out, they voted my name, apparently.
You voted Democrat in that other state, didn't you?
Yeah, I voted for that Democrat senator from Arizona, apparently. She sent me a thank you card. I'm just appalled. But the point is, that now in Iowa they're trying to pass legislation and to make it harder to clean up the voter rolls. So while we're thinking that's so obvious, let's go down and do it, we're going to get this solved, blah blah blah, they're undermining it. Okay, they're going to put blocks in our way, and I think we have to be really careful about thinking we're you know, we can come up with the solutions. And as soon as we just kind of like, it's kind of like the minute you talk about, especially you, I'm sure, the minute you talk about things, it will, they're listening and they will change what your ability is to access information on the internet.
Well, you know, I agree.
I can't get on like Russian TV or Russian RT. I can't get it on my Telegram. Other people can. My neighbor can. He can get it in Russian. I can't. You know, it's very interesting. They know. So we have to be careful about what's going on in the little things, like the psychiatric approach to gun control. We might be winning on some fronts, but then we're going to take the psychiatric front.
I agree with this. I mean, I had a really good talk with Carrie Made on Monday, and we're going to follow up with this, but she's going through the process of the state national.
Right. Yes.
Now. So I'm going to be honest up front. I've been very skeptical about this until I talked to Carrie, and I would, for all the people I've run into that can talk about state nationals, to her credit, even though she's relatively new to it, she articulated it better than anybody I've come across.
Right.
And the process that she's going through, she was kind of walking me through her process. And I've already made some initiatives. I'm going to get one of the programs tonight and that she recommended. And then I already ordered my Black's Law Dictionary. So there's a language we have to change. So the reason I say all this, everything we're talking about here, we're talking about within the architecture of a system that was designed to separate us from our sovereign rights.
Right.
And I think that the only way forward ultimately in everything that we're doing is we have to literally legally reset ourselves out of the system. That creates us as little islands, but that's okay because then we are outside of their jurisdictional control, and that gives us the true exodus out of the system. And that's going to be the hardest part of this, but walking in the desert for 40 years wasn't easy either. So...
No, and it's going to be similar because, well, I've talked to Carrie and I'm doing the same thing. I got the little USB Americans in Action,
right,
with an S Americans. After Americans, because if you get American in action, you then end up at one of these bad sites. You know, that's against our principles, but Americans in Action is their site. So, but one of the points, and this is a point in medicine, I discovered, much to my surprise, that you don't need, all these years I've been paying for a DEA license, a lot of money. It's not cheap. Now I think it's $700 for 2 years of a DEA license. And that's only if you're actually dispensing narcotics. If you're not dispensing narcotics and you just want to write somebody post-op medicines or for, you know, certain steroids that you have to have a license for, that's only, you don't have to have a DEA license for that. So the question then becomes, and I've brought this out with Dr. Hartz, that's just been on this show about taken on the Iowa Medical Board. Why do we all need licenses? The only reason we need a license is because they've convinced the pharmacies not to fill prescriptions for unlicensed physicians. So that but in the new world, when we don't need so many prescriptions, that may not be a big thing. And I think there's going to be a movement away of licensing doctors. And I think the other thing is, look at what they've done. Like here's another one in my state, carbon capture pipeline. They're trying to run this pipeline through the state to suck carbon dioxide out of the air and then put it into the ground. But they have to run this pipeline, which has some danger associated with it. And they're tricking people into saying that it's eminent domain, but it's not. You see, that's right. They've twisted our lives with legalisms, and this is a way out, I think. I do think
I agree. If you take everybody in this movement, and you really think about where our colonists were at the time. So they were under British rule with British occupiers side by side with them. And they made a stand to break away as independent states and a separate country. We're in a similar situation on that level. But here's what we have that they didn't have. We have more depth of talent and innovation in our ranks than our colonists ever had. And our numbers are far greater. So when you really look at it from medical to science to engineering, anything related to technologies, there's a great depth in patriots alone, including an amazing array of veterans and even military personnel who stood against this vax. It gives you a standing quote unquote militia ready and its package ready to roll.
Yeah.
It understands how they operate. So there is enough. The difference is that people look at this, and because I run into this, they'll see like, yeah, but we're not connected. Yes, we are connected. One, we're connected digitally for now. We're connected spiritually because there is a general following of Christ within that movement. And then the other side of that, which is really amazing, is that there's an inspirational, passionate unity there. Once you establish the breakaway from all of this, and meaning the state national, the jurisdictional control of the state is separated, and then we are literally like independent little countries, if you will, everywhere we are. We just have to link that together. I think there's going to probably drive that. There will be driven by that a sense of migration towards counties where people will start to consolidate. But in the meantime, I think the state national movement, which I'm now really excited about, that ties in as well with land patents, which I've been studying now for about six yep. months, and getting our actual rights back and starting to take back control of this country, because we're going to have to. If we're going to follow under their rules, this is a Luciferian order that sees us all as chattel, and everything they do, it doesn't matter what they promise, at the end of the day, they will find a way to make us subject to them. And that's the problem when we start talking about like white hats in control, meaning an elite group of white hats. They can't, I would argue that they are not going to be able to shift us that far. However, I don't think they would resist our movement. I think what's really happening here again is they're freeing us from the control of this cabal. We have to make the decision on where we want to go as the people. We're the true white hats. We're the true plan. But we're getting some white space, as we refer to it in the military, some white space to operate and give some room to breathe so that these draconian lizard heads don't suck the life out of us, right?
And that's really that is the bottom line here. I mean, yeah. You know, I don't know if I just bought David Icke's new book, and it's called The Trap, and I just started reading it, and it's interesting because think of all the things that he has said over the years, and I've read several of his books, and that I said, you know what, I think he's right. Mm-hmm. People won't accept this, but I think it's closer to the truth than what we've been taught. We've been taught so many lies, and now they're coming out. This really is. I really do think, you know, sometimes I get scared when I think about the directed energy weapons and the potential for weaponry beyond what we can possibly resist. On the other hand, we are the people that actually work with our hands and our, you know, we're the people that do things. You know, the Davos guys, they don't get their hands dirty doing anything. They just move money and words. They and do. once we figure out that they can't really exist unless, you know, the robotics, the good news is, and I know we're running out of time, I'll have to let you have the final word, but I don't know if you saw this chat, what is it called? Chat?
GPT?
Yeah. Okay. They let this AI write, I think it was for CNET. It was for some like computer type magazine. And it turned out that he was basically a moron. Yes, he could write nice sentences and things, but it turned out to be pretty stupid. So I think we've got a little room to work here. So
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so what's our next play? I know that I wanted you to mention maybe your podcast idea for the
right.
getting
so,
the word out.
What we're pushing right now, Bards FM, and it's just beginning, kind of getting warmed up. We should be in place by the end of the month. Is we're pushing to get a minimum of 500 new podcasters in play that are focused completely on county level news. So 500 counties, 500 podcasts, and that allows people to. And we're just encouraging one podcast a week to kind of build a local news network on a nation scale. I'm also looking at building with that a local with using retired veterans and Leo, an intelligence network that goes along with that. So we can really start to understand the workings and mechanisms of what the criminal side is doing and how we're going to free ourselves from this. I think the biggest thing is people need to stay focused on their counties and action yeah. in your counties. Don't get worked up about national strategic stuff. You can't worry about it because you can't control it, but we can make big differences in our local community. And that's really where it is. So grow food, get your own business started, take care of your own medical health, get a church in your house or Bible study, and help somebody get their kids out of this draconian school system, or get your own kids out, homeschool. Right?
Yeah, we have to take the kids and start educating them, because they purposely dumbed them down so they'd accept this. Right. So I really appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you again, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks for joining me. I'll be down in Florida next week, so we'll have a show on the road. Thank you.